Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, turn our eyes to you and your holy word, for there we will find joy. Joy in your presence, joy in living life in faithful obedience, joy of release through tearful repentance, joy in your strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jerusalem has been laid to waste. Years earlier, the 10 northern tribes have fallen due to their disobedience, and now the remaining tribes in the south, Judah and Benjamin, had fallen too. They did not learn the lesson of what happened to the 10 northern tribes and were disobedient to the word of God. Babylon came in and crushed them, taking most of them into captivity, destroying the temple of God that Solomon had built. Yet a promise was given through the prophet Jeremiah, 70 years, and you will return. Have you ever gone back to a place from childhood and you notice it's just not the same? It never will be the same again. Now, Persia comes and conquers Babylon, and the return of the Jewish people to Jerusalem and the land of Judah begins. King Cyrus of Persia gives instructions to rebuild the temple. And King Cyrus brings out the articles that were taken from the temple when Babylon conquered and destroyed, that the Nebuchadnezzar had carried away. King Cyrus is now returning them to the Jewish people and say, go, rebuild your temple and take these back to the temple. The altar was rebuilt and the sacrifices according to the word of God began again. The temple foundation was laid, and the older priests and Levites and the family heads wept, for they had remembered the former temple. And now this temple is not going to be anything like it, so much smaller. The years passed, and finally the temple was finished at the urgings of the prophet Haggai and Zechariah after several years of interruption. Years pass, and a new king comes to throne in Persia. His cupbearer was a Jewish man, and his name was Nehemiah. Nehemiah grieved over Jerusalem. Even though the temple was rebuilt, the city was mostly still in ruins. God's favor was on Nehemiah, and the king of Persia sent Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. During this time, Nehemiah also had to deal with many other problems. Amongst them was the way the Jewish people were treating each other, fellow Jews. They were treating each other terribly. They were taking land. They were taking each other as slaves. They were charging interest. They were not walking in the fear of the Lord or according to the word of the Lord. Remember, you were taken into captivity for neglecting the ways of the Lord. And now you're treating each other in a way that is neglecting the ways of the Lord. The rebuilding of the wall was completed in a whirlwind of time, only 52 days, despite much opposition. And then comes the seventh month. This marks the Feast of Trumpets, also known as Rosh Hashanah. The trumpet blast heralds a solemn time of preparation before the Day of Atonement, which is the 10th day. And then the Festival of Booths to celebrate the harvest on the 15th day in the 7th month. The 7th month begins with that trumpet blast. The 10 days of repentance. 10 days of awe. Wake up! Shake off your spiritual drowsiness. Amend your ways. Trumpets to recall the memory that you are covenant people with the Lord, the God of all. Even though it's mostly Judah and Benjamin who remain, they are now called again Israelites. And they gather in Jerusalem at the water gate. There, they have Ezra bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Pay attention to that. This is what the Lord, the book, the Lord gave to Israel, this book, to instruct and to teach them. Men, women, people of all ages gathered to hear Ezra read from the book the Lord had given to them. Ezra was high up on a wooden platform for all to see. Surrounding Ezra were the priests. And Ezra opened the book and praised God. And as he opened the book and praised God, where all could see him, they could see it really was a scroll that was unrolling, but he could see what he was doing. And Ezra praised God, and then all the people stood up, and they began to praise God, raising their hands to heaven, saying, "Amen, amen," meaning what those words are going to be said, we want in our lives, we agree to them. And the people bowed down in worship, in reverence, and awe. Here is something to ponder. What would happen in our hearts if we praised God like they praise God as the word of God is being opened? We raise our hands to heaven like them, and then bow down in reverence like them each time the Word of God, the Bible, is opened and read from in our midst. As Ezra read from the book of the law of God, others instructed, making clear and giving meaning to all that was read, making sure the people understood what was being read to them. Understanding is so important for your faith. This lasted for hours, 5, 6 hours. Hearing the holy word of God and receiving instruction and having the meaning made clear to gain understanding. For this is the word of God. This is, the Bible is the word of God given to us. Understanding is essential for your faith. You are to be different for hearing, understanding, obeying. The word makes you different, transforms you from what you were into what you are to become. As the word was making its way into their hearts, a wave of weeping overcomes them. As more of the law is read, the people realize how disobedient they had been through the years. They had neglected and disobeyed the word of the Lord. They had broken the covenant, the captivity, the hardships. All that had taken place was because they had turned their back on the Lord. And tears of weeping repentance was rushing through their hearts. They were mourning their sins. Our day, our time, does not mourn sinning against the Lord. Instead, rationalization takes place. That was then. This is now. The Bible is old and it's out of date and out of with the times. It needs to catch up with the times. The Bible needs to change according to the times, is what our culture is saying. The seriousness of sin is snubbed, and self-fulfillment becomes what is most important. That's our culture. Feeling good and feeling right is more important than what does the Word of God say. Sin is serious. And it takes a serious look at sin, a look that will break a heart to mourning over sin and weeping over sin to bring about repentance. And repentance is so important in the journey of faith with the living God. Look back over your life. Recall the times of repentance that transformed your heart. Times of repentance that set you on a new course in life, walking with the Lord. For me, a major transformation happened when I destroyed all the books I had accumulated on the occult. I put away that false things out of my life. You see, I was trying to add that stuff to my Christian faith, and I was being taken astray. But by God's grace, my heart was broken to return to the Lord through repentance. Into that weeping repentance, Nehemiah, the man of God, rises and speaks. This day is sacred to the Lord. Do not weep. As the scripture says in Nehemiah, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Leviticus chapter 23 has the seven appointed feasts of the Lord. They could be hearing that. Now you may be saying, come on, let's get to that joy part. Your sermon is supposed to be about the joy of the Lord is your strength. And here we are hearing about repentance. We're hearing about the law and weeping. Give me joy. There is joy. There is joy for you. But to get there, the journey is through repentance. That joy of the Lord can't be yours until your heart repents from seeking things that are empty of the real joy because they're contrary to the word of the Lord. If your heart and your life are filled with things that are disobedient to the word of the Lord, it makes it difficult for there to be room for the joy of the Lord. And the Lord, out of his great compassion and love for you, will work to bring you to repentance, to your knees in weeping and sorrow for your sin. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple of the Lord torn down, God's people taken into captivity to bring Israel to repentance. Learn from their experience. Let the word of the Lord be that two-edged sword in your heart. Remember, Jesus said, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So there you have them, before the Watergate, spread all over the place, maybe up to 50,000 people. 50,000 people weeping and wailing before the Lord, mourning for their sins. God's word, as Ezra read it, God's word had worked on their souls, and the echoes could be heard from the hillside. A holy word, so powerful, people were moved. What would happen? What would happen if we would gather for hours to hear the Holy Word? To come together for a whole day to hear the Holy Word of God. Simply gather to hear the Word of God. Imagine what would happen in this place as it is filled with the Holy Word of God hour after hour after hour. With no watching of the watch for what time it is. For our hearts are so hungry for the word of the Lord to be in our lives. To understand the word of God for our faith to blossom and grow. To the tears of weeping repentance, grace was spoken. Nehemiah Chapter 8, verse 10, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now you've heard the context of that verse. Do not weep. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now we hear the joy. The Lord will bring about joy in your life. Like last week in the sermon you heard, Jesus said, I am the vine, remain in me. And then there's that promise, and I will remain in you. Same as 2 weeks ago when you heard Jesus is your joy. The Word of God is consistent in its teaching to you. Joy is found in that living relationship with the living God. Nowhere else is that real joy found. Nehemiah said, be filled with joy on this sacred day. The joy of the bringing and sharing the fruits from the harvest before the Lord. That is what taken place in the seventh month. And one of the greatest testimonies you can have, is the joy of the Lord in your life that is so infectious that others will want to have what you have. Your joy and your smile is so inviting. Others are drawn to it. It gets their attention. And they want to learn how to have that joy of the Lord, that strength. Hearts hurting from life's problems, broken marriages, drinking, drugs, and such. You can just go down a list of all the things of meaningless parts of life. And then you can go down the list of the various ways people try to fill that void with the false joy of this world's empty promises. The joy of the Lord in your life will be so inviting to them. They will want it. And you can speak that word of grace to them. That your joy came through repentance and the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ. It is speaking grace to a person when you call them to repentance, because it opens the way for that redeeming grace to transform their lives. Grace. It is through repentance will come the greatest of joys. For there is release from the bondage of sin. There is redeeming love by the blood of Jesus Christ that has washed you clean. Day after day, the people would gather to listen to Ezra read the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God, responding to the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, doing what the Word said. Nehemiah chapter 8, at the end of verse 17, it says, and their joy was very great. They had heard the Word of God. They built their booths and lived in them according to celebrating the harvest. A celebration so filled with joy that all the way back from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated in such great manner. The weeping repentance made a way into the people's hearts for obedience, and the obedience made the way for real, that real joy of the Lord to be strength in their lives. The better you understand the Word of God, the more real joy in your life. For you come to know the joy that is in the Lord that lasts, and it's not of material things that fade away. The Lord said to Israel, recorded in Exodus chapter 6, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Leviticus chapter 26, The Lord said, I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. Jesus Christ, our Lord, Matthew chapter 11 said, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Real joy is that living relationship with the Lord. That relationship is your strength. The joy of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, who gives you every perfect gift, is your strength. The Lord God Almighty gave you the perfect Son to redeem your soul. There, in that redeeming relationship that leads to eternal life, there is your real joy. There, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen and amen.